Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And it's the last week of school before the holiday break, which is a little crazy since many of our students have been off for a couple weeks because of earthquake. But we're going to take everything we can over the next few days here. So I have in the studio with me today Mary Watts, the principal of Pioneer Peak Elementary. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Jillian. I'm so excited to be here.
And I'm so excited to have you here because I'm excited to talk about something other than the earthquake.
As am I.
So I am looking forward to, we are going to go back in time a little bit because about 2 months ago, Pioneer Peak won a really prestigious award. And I wanted to talk about that today and talk about what that award is. But first, for our listeners, I always like to, I deal with the district stuff every day. 47 schools, we're all, you know, size of West Virginia, we're spread all over. Not everybody knows all of our schools. So I wanted to do just a little bit of an overview of Pioneer Peak. So let's start with, tell me about Pioneer Peak. Is it a K-5? Where is it? All of those things.
Pioneer Peak is one of our centrally located elementaries. We are right on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway next to Three Bears, one of our partners. We have preschool through fifth grade. We've got about 450 kids, including our preschoolers. And we have a number of special ed programs as well as a ton of extracurricular activities for all of our kids.
So where is your boundary? Where do you draw from?
We go as far as Equestrian Acres toward Palmer, back on Palmer-Wasilla Fishhook, and then a little bit toward just beyond, I want to say right before Cottonwood Creek is where our boundary is on that side.
Excellent. You're one of the older schools, too, I believe. Is that right?
We are. We are one of the older Buck schools. We were built in 1985.
That's amazing. I think sometimes I've been thinking a lot about the dates of schools with the earthquake stuff, just because that was really important. So it's a reminder. 85 was a long time ago. So you guys are going to, and you had some upgrades this year. So the school looks great.
It does. It stands strong, and it's still strong even after the great shake.
That's wonderful.
Go Buck schools.
So let's go to National Blue Ribbon.
Yes.
Okay. So this isn't just that somebody was like, oh, look, Pioneer Peak's a great school and they're doing such a good job. Here's a blue ribbon. This is a huge process. And I've actually heard the superintendent talk about it like it's writing a thesis. So why don't you walk us through that process?
It was about a year ago I received a call asking if I would accept the nomination for Blue Ribbon School. And unfortunately, like many of us, I didn't really know what it all entailed. So I accepted the nomination and got very, very excited. The nomination process includes having to submit a very large report. So it's all of the demographic information about your school, your history, test scores, and then also I think it was about 9 separate essays about our school culture, about our staff, our professional development, and our community in general.
My understanding of it is that when a school receives an award, it's for a particular category. So when you submitted all of the things that you just described, you don't know, well, one, if you're going to get the award, but also where they're going to place you in that the different categories. What was the category that you won?
We ended up winning with the high-achieving school overall. And there are two categories for Blue Ribbon. It's high-achieving, and then it's also an achievement gap closing category. So that for that eligibility, you have to show steady and really great gains for underserved populations, which we also do, but we actually won with the overall high-achieving school.
So what does that entail? Why did they, when they looked at your application, what did they see?
First, they look at your test scores, your state test scores. And we do have really high-performing kids at Pioneer Peak. Even our kids that come in needing a lot of assistance still make huge gains. So looking at our test scores, that was our first eligibility criteria that we met. After that, it's all about wanting to know about the culture and the community of the school and what supports you have in place to continue to show such excellence in performance.
What did you choose to highlight about Pioneer Peak? Because I know you have special things going on there.
We do. We talked a lot about the supports we put in for our kids. It's really important for all of us that everybody that walks through our door feels welcomed and cared for and supported. So we talked about what we have in place for underachieving kids, but we also talked about what we have for our high flyers, for the kids that need extra support in extension activities. We talked about how we support new families to Pioneer Peak. We're a pretty tight-knit group, and so we have something we call the Mountaineer Network, where mm-hmm. staff are assigned 2 to 3 kids that they just keep an eye on and check in with every single week, at least twice a week. And it's typically for kids that we know are struggling, or we know their families are struggling, or they're just new to Pioneer Peak and need to feel a part of something. And we stay with those kids as long as they're at Pioneer Peak. Hmm. So it's a pretty positive thing for everybody. And I think most people, when they walk into Pioneer Peak, they do feel welcome.
That's I love all. When I go to Pioneer Peak, I love that school.
It's a fun place.
I wanted to go back to talking about achievement. One of the things that I've learned a lot from listening to Dr. Goyette talk about achievement is that so many of our students usually come into kindergarten and they're far behind. They're far behind the norms. And then she talks about at graduation where we're getting them to into that 80th percentile. But one of the things that's different about Pioneer Peak is that you have pre-K. And that's one of the things that we've realized, that we know nationally, is that that's a game changer. So what are the pre-K programs that you have at Pioneer Peak?
We do have 2 of the special ed preschools at our school.
Okay.
So those are all kids that are identified through the Child Find process. I've been at Pioneer Peak for 10 years, and when I started there, we had preschool, and then they moved to another building for a couple years, and now that they're back, it's like we're complete again. It is so nice to be able to see these little tiny peanuts. They're 3, 4, 5 years old. They come in, and then they're with us all the way until they're 10. So just knowing that we can connect with them and stay with them and help them to make progress, it's great. I'm so glad that they're back.
That's so neat. So that's, and it's just the special ed program.
Yep.
So it's not a universal pre-K.
No.
Okay. We've had federal programs in here explaining some of the pre-K programs. That's one of the things that I think they've actually expanded their offerings just because we know
yes.
what a game changer it is. Okay. So I want to talk about some of the other special programs.
And yes.
Okay. Why don't you take us through some of it? Because I know you have them in fifth grade. So take us through all the different programs you have.
Yes. So we, like every other elementary school, have the Talented and Gifted program that is a process where kids are identified as talented and gifted. We look at what their interests, their abilities are, and come up with clubs and other extension activities to help build upon those interests. Pioneer Peak also has a number of special ed programs. Pretty much any special ed program you could want, we have at our school. So we have the ABA program. We have a behavior...
Wait, let's go back. What's ABA? What is that?
ABA is Applied Behavioral Analysis. It's for kids that are typically struggling in areas of communication, social skills, safety skills. Many of them often have autism. They don't necessarily have to have that. It is taking specific behaviors that you want taught to kids and breaking them down into very tiny, tiny steps and pieces through the use of discrete trials. So kids get the reinforcement they need at a rate that they need it. That's just one of the programs, though. We also have a behavior support program, and that is for kids that experience difficulty in having positive and appropriate behaviors at school. Huh. We have resource programs, which are for kids that are needing some extra support in reading, writing, or math. We also have intensive resource for kids that are typically 2 years behind in reading, writing, or math, or need paraprofessional support throughout their day to be successful. That might end the preschool. So that would be all of our special ed programs.
So I have a question about that. Not every elementary has all of those offerings for students that need it. Is that right?
That is true.
Okay, so then... So let's say you're boundaried for another school, but you've been identified that behavior support program would really help you move the needle for success. What happens? How does that work?
There's a process. If a team decides that a child needs to be in one of those district-wide programs, is what behavior support and ABA are considered, the team looks at the nearest program that has space.
Okay.
And so we do take in kids from other boundaries all the time, which is perfect. And then they just stay with us until they either no longer need the support or they age out.
Interesting. So you do have students then that are going to come in from all over for
that? Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that really expands your community then.
The more the merrier.
So that was all the special ed programming that you have at Pioneer. Okay. So
yes.
Now you have some other stuff. So let's talk about those other things.
Our extracurriculars are a huge driving force in our school. We've got the sports that are typical for other schools in the Valley, so volleyball, cross country, track. We usually have Junior Native Youth Olympics. I'm trying to think. Some of the other activities that we have added are unique to Pioneer Peak. We have a Harry Potter Club.
Oh, my goodness. I have a son that would really like to be part of
I'll sign a boundary exemption. What grade is he in? We also have Science Olympiad, Math Olympiad, Spelling Bee, Battle of the Books. We are one of few elementaries that has a yearbook club. Our yearbook is driven by our
students.
Kids.
Wow.
Yes. Yep. They've got a staff advisor as well as a parent volunteer that has helped with that for years. That's exciting. The kids love being a part of the yearbook and taking the pictures and being the press at all the events. And one of the other groups that we have that I don't think many elementaries do is student council. So being able to start that young student-led government early in their little academic careers is pretty exciting for them, too.
Do you have an age of when they can start? Do they have to be intermediate, like third, fourth, fifth?
Or? I think it is third, fourth, fifth. We have class representatives, and then they also have officers as well.
That is so cool.
And they make appointments to come meet with me to discuss important issues, such as recess equipment. It's a pretty good deal.
That is so fun. Those are the kind of meetings I'd like to go to. This is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Matsubara School District. And I have in the studio with me Mary Watts, who's the principal of Pioneer Peak Elementary. And we're just enjoying some really fun stories about Pioneer Peak. But one of the reasons I have Mary in the studio today is they received a very prestigious national award this year. And it's the National Blue Ribbon for High Achievement. And this is just it's a big deal. And so I want to go back to a little Blue Ribbon. So not everybody knows where that comes, why it's a big deal, why it's a federally recognized, nationally recognized award. So who is it coming from?
It comes from the federal government, actually, from the Department of Education. It is so prestigious that there were 300 schools in the entire country that received 300 public schools, I should say, and I think there were 49 private schools. I also learned at the ceremony that you can win it multiple times. I thought it was a once-in-a-career deal, but you can actually win it every 5 years. So you and I might be back in this booth in 5 years.
Oh, I love that. I love that spirit. So let's talk about some of that you had. There's a lot to do with this. And so I went to some events. And so why don't you tell us some of the things that you did for the community upon winning this?
Oh, we were so excited. And we wanted to make it a really big deal for the kids because they might win it again at another school, but they probably won't win it again while they're with me at Pioneer Peak. So we decided we wanted our celebration to be all about the kids because it really is their performance and their dedication to their progress and their education that helped us to win the award. So we had the Blue Ribbon Bash, which you were a part of. We started the day with an award assembly because it happened to coincide with the end of the first quarter.
Oh, you did quarter one awards with
yep.
it? Yep. Okay, right.
So we celebrated the achievements of specific kids and groups of kids within our school, and then we spent half of the day bebopping around the school, going from one classroom to the next, doing different activities that were movement-based and community-building-based. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that is so great. And you did it all day, didn't you? It was a full event.
The K-2 kids did it in the morning, and then the upper grades did it in the afternoon, because we can't have the whole building moving at once.
It'd be like a 7-point award, right? So then there's another piece of it. You went to Washington, D.C. to receive the official.
Yes.
Okay.
I went.
Tell us about it. That's exciting.
It was so exciting, and I had never been to Washington, D.C., which made it even better. Donna Ishmael is our instructional coach. So she went along with me to accept the award, and there were different events scheduled for before the ceremony, after the ceremony, and then there was the ceremony itself. It was really interesting. They had a number of different guest speakers. Betsy DeVos was one of the speakers. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great celebration of education and of educators. They had a number of student speakers, which was really great to hear these kids stand up and tell their stories and recognize their own process. And they're probably going to become educators themselves.
Right. They're our future.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then tonight I'll be at the board meeting sharing our story with them as well.
Oh, that's so neat. So now, is there anything left for Blue Ribbon? Are there things that you are supposed to do in the community, or is there any other requirements upon receiving the award?
Our biggest job now is just to fly our flag.
Keep doing what you're doing and doing it well.
It is pretty exciting to walk into school every day and see our Blue Ribbon flag flying right underneath the Alaska one.
That is so cool. Well, I have a couple other questions, because now I'm going to just ask you some questions about, because you're an elementary principal, and I've had people calling my office asking these questions. So now I have a principal and a kid, captive audience.
Are they asking if I play Uno every day?
No. So we are going to dive into earthquake a little bit here.
Okay.
Say, you were one of the schools that went back pretty early. So you guys have been back in session now for a week and a half. Plus, right? So families have been asking, what has been happening? What's going on at school? And how did they re-enter their classrooms? And how did it all work?
We were in the first batch of people to go back. And I do want to just extend yet another note of appreciation and gratitude to maintenance and to our custodial team, because we walked back in our building. We were expecting to spend a lot of time doing cleanup versus preparing for kids, and our building looked like nothing had happened there.
That's incredible.
We've got some sheetrock cracks and some, you know, cosmetic type things, but box schools don't break. When the kids came back, well, I should back that up. When the staff came back, we did meet to debrief, and we talked about how the day had gone. And what happened during the earthquake, our school had very few kids in it at the time. We just had the yearbook club.
Oh, right, because elementary was not in school yet. But
Correct.
The teachers were probably in the classrooms.
Yes, there were a number of teachers. But, you know, it's nothing seals the deal and makes your team stronger than a crisis or something unexpected happening.
Yep.
And so it really helped us look at our emergency procedures and what we need to fine-tune, and that's something that we're going to be continuing to work on. Overall, I was so proud of our staff and our kids that were there for how they handled themselves and kept their cool. It was amazing to see people go into action.
So I have a 9-year-old, and so I've been asking. He doesn't tell me much. I have to find his friends' parents to find out how he responds to things. So one of the things I've been asking is, we are having aftershocks still. How are the kids doing, and what do the teachers do for
when
that?
When the kids came back from school, we actually started our day with an earthquake drill,
okay,
which I was really hesitant to do because I didn't want to re-traumatize anyone.
Right.
But on the other hand, I need kids to know that when they come to school, we have a plan to keep them safe and that they have a job in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did have a pretty large aftershock that very first day back. Interestingly enough, half of us felt it and half of us didn't. So we learned we need to revise our plans just to make sure everyone knows what's going on. But it went really well. And it's something that we can talk about now, and it's something that the kids can talk about. The kids will come up to me and say, you want to share earthquake stories?
That's so great.
And so they tell me about what it was like for them being out at their bus stop, feeling the ground move.
That's so great.
And I talk to them about standing in my office door.
Is this the safest place?
Exactly.
Is there supposed to be?
So I think that we are healing and we're getting back to normal. And everybody's now focused on winter break and the holidays that are coming up just like they should be. They're kids.
That's so great. Well, I'm so thankful for having you in here, and I'm really excited to see your presentation tonight because we have new school board members that weren't part of the activities and understand that Pioneer Peak got this prestigious national award. So I'm looking forward to them having a chance to visit with you and
you'll
learn
notice
more.
In my presentation, I did not include any pictures of me in my blue wig.
Well, that's a disappointment, actually.
I know. Maybe I'll wear it.
So before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to add?
Oh, yes. I just wanted to remind everybody that any award that Pioneer Peak or any school earns is really due to the dedication and the diligence of the staff that support the kids in that school. So I just want to thank my staff again for everything that they do. We are a tight-knit group. We are a family, mostly functional. And I just so enjoy the people that I work with. And we wouldn't have any awards if it weren't for them.
Well, that is a testimony to our community and the Pioneer Peak
for
community.
For sure.
Well, thank you, Mary, for coming in and spending time. I know you are off to go back to school.
So. Time to go to school. The buses are coming.
Thanks, Mary. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.